Welcome to the Fear and Doubt Detox Audio Summit. I'm Simona McNeil, a freedom from fear and visibility coach who helps women outsmart fear, doubt, and shame so they can go from dreamer to doer, one small action at a time. I'll be your host over the next 4 days, and I'm so excited to share these 20 plus interviews with you. Throughout these interviews, you'll be introduced to some amazing women of God. These are real women sharing their very real stories and experiences with fear, doubt, and shame, and how they overcame them. Together, we want to help you detox your thoughts, debunk the lies, and transform your life. Freedom is yours for the taking. While this event was created by Christian women for Christian women, this is a judgment-free zone where everyone is welcome. Think of these sessions as less of a finger-wagging soliloquy and more of a conversation between friends that we're inviting you to join in on. I'm so excited to hear about the growth, ahas, and transformation that come from this week's summit. Listen in. Welcome back to the Fear and Doubt Audio Summit. I am joined today by my sis, Jessica Hudson, and I am so excited for everyone to hear from her. Jessica Hudson is a child of God. She's a happy wife to her answered prayer husband. She's an MBA graduate, an investor of multiple properties, a serial entrepreneur, and we stand in agreement with her that she will soon to be the mother of twins. Yes, God, in your name, amen. Growing up, she had an interest in finances and a passion for helping others build wealth, which led her to her current business, Wealth Employees. And today, she is here to share how she overcame her fear by surrendering it all to God. So yeah, I'm so excited to hear about this, sis, because the fear of surrender is real. And now I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you so much, sis. I am so excited to be here. I really do just appreciate the opportunity to come on here and just discuss this topic because, like you said, it is very real. Surrendering to God, when I was sitting up here thinking about the topic and just thinking, God, where do I start? Like, how do I even begin to explain? Like, how did this topic come about? And he was just like, what is surrendering? And I was like, it's letting go. And then he was like, but why is there fear of it? And I was like, fear, if you fear to surrender to God, that means that there's some lack of trust in whatever it is that you're trying to achieve or believe him for. You don't trust that he's going to come through. And we know that he did not give us the spirit of fear. So we know that it's not from him. And it's just like, when he told me about that, and I was just like, gosh, like I really did not trust you in certain circumstances and everything like that. And I was like, how do I explain to everybody out here how to come over it? Like, I have so many examples. I've lived a short life. I think I haven't lived my long life as of yet. Just in this short time of being here, I was just like, Father, I have, unfortunately, a lot of examples. And I was like, is it okay for me to share them? Like, where do I start? And he was like, start from the beginning. With surrendering, the first one that I can actually think of, and it's funny because I thought about this the other day, it was actually surrendering for my husband. And that is why when you said that he was my answered prayer, he really was my answered prayer, or is my answered prayer. And when I thought about this a couple months ago or so, I was like, I was praying for a husband for a very long time, like at an early age is what I mean. Like I was really praying for a husband at a very early age. And I think that really came from just my household, I guess you would say, and just the relationships that were around me. And just the relationships that I wasn't even in relationships at that time, but it was just really seeing all the other relationships around me. And some of them, I was just like, I don't want a relationship like that. Like when you're living life and you're a child and you're looking at things and you're just like, I don't want to have to go through that. Is that what this is about? I don't think that's what it's supposed to be. I don't think that's how people are supposed to talk. And so for me, when I started praying, like I said, for a husband, I was probably in middle school or like late elementary or something, young, right? And I just remember I was praying at first, and it's crazy how I remember this. I can't believe that I remember it. But I started praying for all the physical aspects. Oh, I want my husband to be this tall, and I want him to be look like this and have this complexion and all this stuff. All these outwardly things. And
the list. Yep.
Yes, the list, right? And so when I thought about it, and I kept on praying. This was over, I don't know, probably months or a couple of years or something like that. And I remember the final prayer that I prayed when I actually gave it over to God was when I prayed and I just said, Father, I just want whoever you have for me. I just want somebody who is going to walk like your son walked, and treat people the way that your son treated people, and be God-fearing, and bring me closer to you. I remember that. I remember those specifically. And I remember going to sleep and never praying for it again. I never prayed for him again. And of course, through life, I've had different boyfriends and things like that. But when Brendan and I got together and got married and all of this stuff, and I reflected, I realized that God actually introduced me around the time that I surrendered to him, that wow. I surrendered that prayer to him, because I met my husband in the sixth grade. Of course, I didn't know he was my husband, but I met him in the sixth grade, and we actually ended up going to a very small high school together, a high school that was like new, nobody really knew about, but yet somehow we both ended up being there. And the first person that I actually recognized when I walked through the gates of the high school was my husband. And it was just, when I reflected on it, I was just like, this is just how God moves. Like having that, now needless to say, I didn't have a fear back then of being in a relationship like that, but I knew I didn't want a relationship like that. And I just wanted to start off with this testimony, because I know that there are people out here that are still looking for their spouse, and they're still looking for their God-given spouse. And I just want you to know that you can surrender that prayer to God, because he will answer it. Even as a child praying for a husband, not knowing until what, like 10, 20, 15 years later, that I would actually marry the person that I met after I actually prayed the prayer and surrendered it to God. I'm telling you that it is 105% possible that God already has your spouse, that God already has them out there, and that more than likely, he is working on both of you before you do come together. Now, I do remember that I did ask God also for me to grow with this person, because I wanted to be able to go through life together. Cause I feel like that's special as well, having somebody that you can grow with. And that's exactly, I have been with my husband since high school. And as you all know, going through high school, went through different colleges. We had to come back to, eventually we came back together, lived together. We lived separately after marriage. All of those things are just growth opportunities in life in general. And so I just want everybody to know that you can surrender all of the prayers to God, all of every last one of them to God, because he is faithful. Like he is faithful. He is going, his word is not going to return to him void. So whatever he has promised you is going to come to pass. And I wanted to also go on to the next testimony, because I have so many testimonies.
Share them all.
And they're all just, I feel like they're all just for somebody out there that is listening. So the next testimony coming was the one with my car is probably the next one that I can actually date sequentially. I remember this was our first apartment. So now we graduated college. This is not my next testimony. It's actually right after I graduated college. This is the biggest testimony. I don't even understand how I was going to skip this one. Oh my gosh, thank you, Spirit. For all of the people who are out there that are lost or feel lost, this testimony is 100% for you. And this one was for sure out of fear. I really was actually fearful for what my life was going to look like because I felt so lost. I did not know where to go. When I tell you, I just felt like I was in a black, dark hole. That is exactly, I can't explain it any better. This was after I graduated undergrad. I know that a lot of students out there, they don't want to go back home. Different people have different graduation stories. Some people go back home. Some people go straight into the workforce. Some people go directly back into school. I had all of those friends that had those situations. And I just ended up being one of the people who went back home. And I didn't know what to feel about that. I think that added to that feeling aspect because I actually was offered a position as a financial advisor, but in Jacksonville. And that would have required me to have faith because I didn't know anybody in Jacksonville. It would have been like a whole big relocation. It would have been essentially just starting all over again, which essentially I did anyway, but it would have been a whole different type of thing. I didn't know anybody in Jacksonville or nothing like that. So housing, all of that would have had to be funded through my parents. And so I was just like, I don't want to have to do that for who knows how long. So anybody who does not know, for the most part, when you're a financial advisor, you have to take these courses. And usually after you pass your certifications and everything, that is when you are reimbursed. But usually there's no relocation stipend or anything like that for you in the beginning. So you're essentially starting fresh on your own and you have to build your portfolio, which will eventually become your income. So to do that for possibly 5 years, I was like, yeah, I don't know if I could do that. So that was a very big step for me and I declined the offer. So then the other offer was like, okay, where are you going to find work? Or what are you going to do? Or are you going to go back to school? And my parents had a genuine concern. And I understand their concern because I'm in their house just doing whatever. And at this time, Brendan did not graduate as of yet. Brendan, my husband, he did not graduate as of yet. So he was still in school. And I just remember one day, I couldn't take the back and forth anymore. I really had no idea what I wanted to do. I didn't know if I wanted to go back to school. And I didn't even know what I wanted to go back to school for. I knew I loved financial literacy. I was like, do I go back to school and get an MBA? Do I just get a regular MBA? Do I get a master's in family financial planning? What do I do? I don't even know what to do. And then I'm like, I don't even know where I can get a job. Yeah, I have this undergrad degree, but I don't even know where to start with a job. So I just remember laying in the bed and just praying and just crying. God, what do I do? Because I have no idea where to go. I don't know. I just don't know. The only thing that I knew that I wanted at that point was to actually be with Brandon, my husband. I just knew that being with him would have brought me joy. And when I closed my eyes, praying, crying, and all of that at once, I just seen myself in a dark place. And this was in the middle of the day. So it was bright outside, but I just felt so dark. And all I seen was like this small light. And it was literally like the movies, right? Where you see, where it's just complete darkness. And there's just this one small light that is shining. And when you go to it and you take the step, you see the next light come forth. And that is exactly what I seen. And then I just heard God say, it's okay, you can go. Meaning I did not have to stay with my parents' house. I could go and live with my husband, my then boyfriend, who was not working, who was still in school, mind you, who was living with a roommate, who did not have a job, whose parents and grandmother was actually paying for his housing. And I was like, God, how is this going to work? I don't even have a job. And he was just like, go. I had never, I don't think I've ever experienced so much peace in my life for actually deciding to leave. And so I ended up packing up my small belongings and then moving to a whole nother city, because Brennan actually lived like 3 hours away from my parents' house at that time. And so I moved up there with him. No job. Neither of us had a pretty much dime to our name. The only thing that we had was food stamps, which was great. But that was pretty much it. We only had food stamps. And after a month, we actually ended up getting a puppy. Mind you, still no job, nothing. I still don't know how this puppy ate. But I can tell you right now that he is here 11 years later and he is still alive and well. So God not only provided for just me and Brennan, he provided for a whole nother life for us before we even had any sort of income. The dog never missed a meal. We never missed a meal. We never missed a monthly payment or nothing like that. We were never evicted. A month later, I started working a job at a laundromat. And then exactly a month after I started working at the laundromat, I got my first real big girl job, I guess you would say, at a bank. And that bank provided benefits, even though I was only there part-time. And then shortly thereafter, Brennan got his first job. And then we moved into an apartment, our first apartment. Like, everything just started building upon then. And now here we are. 10, 15 years, I don't even know how many years it is later, 15 years later. And now we have not just one home, but we have two homes, which is a testimony in and itself. But just that surrender, that it all started from the surrender, from actually being in my parents' home, not knowing anywhere to go, not having a clue. When I tell y'all I was lost. Not having a clue on what to do, not having a clue on where to go, how to feel, like none of that. And yet God had this, of course, much better plan than I could have ever imagined. And even in all of that, and through all of that, there were still more testimonies. My car, again, like I said, is a testimony. I waited a whole year for this car. I really do love my car, but I was introduced to this car because somebody at a dealership, we decided to go to a dealership one day. The whole car is a testimony, I have to tell y'all. We decided to go to the dealership one day. This is a couple of years into living in Daytona because we were back then planning to get an SUV that we've always wanted. We always wanted this SUV. We still to this day want this SUV. Because we want our family. And so we want this SUV. We go to the dealership just out of a whim, just again, manifesting that it will be ours and seeing how they look and stuff. And the car salesman at the time, he came up and he was like, I know that y'all are not really looking to buy this SUV right now. Is there anything that you're looking for yourself at this time? And at that time, I was actually actively looking for a car for myself. But everybody was like, oh, everybody here, because I know not everybody knows me. I drive a manual. I've always had manual transmission. So stick shift, I love stick shift. And as y'all know, there's not very many cars that have stick shift options. So I was looking around for a car, but it was going to be a used car and everything like that. And I did not, everybody was like, oh, don't get a used car. That's going to be too old. You know, I had the budget planned out. I knew exactly how much we could afford and all of that good stuff. But I was just like, I don't know any new cars that are affordable anyway, that we can put a deposit down on that will actually fit into our budget at this time, to actually, that has a manual transmission, okay? He actually introduced us to this car. It's a sedan. It has a manual transmission. It was brand new at the time. It was brand new. And I loved everything about it. It was literally an upgrade to the car that I wanted. And I fell in love with it. And we actually signed documentation and all of it. We did all the nine yards, right? But they did not have the car that I wanted. Because it was a brand new car, they did not have the options that I wanted. They did not have the specific car that I wanted on their lot. So they were trying to get it from a different dealership, and it never actually happened. So for a month, I was waiting for a car that I signed for, and I never got it, right? Yeah. So I was like, you know what? I'm getting this car one way or another, right? Because I'm like, there's no way God would have introduced us to this vehicle if it was not supposed to be mine. Looking up and down, sis, we live on the East Coast. I was looking at the West Coast. I'm like, I'm finding this car. We're going to get it. It's going to come and all of this good stuff, right? Exactly a year later, I was on this car's forum, because that's where I was actively looking. The forums are where people talk about their cars and they show different pictures or whatever, any issues they may have or whatever the case is. It's like just the blog for the car. And somebody on there was actually the salesman at one of the dealerships. And he said, tomorrow, there's going to be a very big sale on these cars. And it's going to be the brand new one. So mind you, this is a whole year later, exactly, I think almost exactly to the day. And from when I signed the papers initially, and the sale came, and it actually brought the price of the newer year model than what I originally signed for, the same exact specs that I wanted, I mean, manual, all of that good stuff, all the options and all that good stuff. But it bought the price over $10,000 less than for a whole year new model. And I was just like, and then because I didn't want to go back to that same dealership, I actually called another dealership that was 3 hours away, because I was so upset at them. And the dealership that we initially went to actually added an additional $2,000 on top of the $10,000 discount that I already had. And the guy was like, you have to take this. There's no way that you can't take this, because if you don't take it, this car is going to be gone. And so we actually went with it. So I was like, for my faith and surrendering this, because I knew I was going to get it, but I had to surrender it, because I was like, I can't find it. Clearly, clearly I couldn't find it on my own for a whole year. So I had to surrender it. God gave me a whole year newer for much less than what we would have originally paid for it. And unfortunately, again, that's a whole testimony in itself, but with that part of the testimony, it was just that standing firm on what God said that will come to pass. Like I said, when the deal initially fell through, I knew God did not just give me this, show me this car, this perfect car for me not to have. It had to have been for me, because how else? Nobody else knew about this car. No, like, it had to have been for me, right? And so just staying so bold and standing so firm on what he had said, and it did come to pass. Again, yes, I had to surrender it to him eventually, because obviously I couldn't do it on my own. There was no way I could have known that this car would have went on sale and all of that good stuff, and I would have been driving away with the car exactly 1 year later, with a year newer, exactly with $12,000 less. There's no way. But knowing that he did that, I was just like, God, what else could you do? What else could you do? And so with this car, I actually began to idolize it. So it was an obsession with me, because it's not an excuse, but I did wait for it for over a year, right? And so one day, this is probably 3 months or so. I don't know if it was 3 months or like a year. I tried to not think about this because it's not good. So this is a testimony for everybody who may have, and I know that people have gone through some bad times. This is just to show you that even in the bad times, you can still surrender to God, because he will 105% turn it around for your good. Just as he says in Romans 8, like, all things will work together for the good of those who love him, right? So I started to idolize this car. And one day we went to Chick-fil-A, y'all. I do not eat Chick-fil-A anymore. Not because of this, but I just don't eat Chick-fil-A anymore. We went to Chick-fil-A. I was driving back and we came to this light, and the light turned green. I took off, and I didn't take off, not take off as in speeding or anything like that. I just took off from the light, and I noticed these headlights. This was it wasn't a 4-lane road. It was a 2-lane road that had a median, and then the opposite traffic had 2 lanes as well. So across the opposite end of traffic, I noticed these headlights, because they could cross through to come with our flow of traffic, if that's making sense. We were going north, 2 lanes, median, south has 2 lanes. And this person was on the opposite side of the south side. And they were looking to come over in to go north. And when I went through the light, I noticed them, they were over past the south side. I said, okay, we're good. I'm still going. Mind you, this is not even going more than 40 miles per hour, right? I keep going. And then I noticed them get closer, because they're coming, and there's a median, so they could obviously stop. So of course I'm back and forth between watching this car and watching ahead of me. And so I look again after they come to the median, and they're literally in my door. The headlights are right there in my door. This woman hit the car, thankfully, thank God, in a way that it turned the car 180 degrees. So we were no longer facing north. We were facing south on the north side. So in the same lane that I was now facing the opposite direction. And she hit my side because I was driving. God, when I tell y'all, the car was not totaled. The woman was drunk. This was her third offense of being drunk. Her house was literally where she was coming from. So where I initially seen her across the south side, that's where her house was. So she was not far from her house. That's how intoxicated she was to hit us anyway, in such a short distance from her home. So this was her third time that she had drove drunk and actually caused an accident. But thank God the car was not totaled. I did suffer a slight injury, if you would. But because of the injury, because of the attorneys and everything that we had, all of the money that we were able to get from this accident, we were actually able to put down a down payment on our home. And this actually came to me recently, like within a year's time or so. And this probably happened 5 years ago, this accident. So, well, it had to have happened 5 years ago, over 5 years ago. And when I thought back onto it, I used to be angry at this woman, because I'm like, this woman could have killed us. We weren't married at this time. We were engaged, but we weren't married at this time. And I'm just like, this woman could have killed us. This woman could have taken away this car that I've waited a year for. There was just so many different things and just anger, because I'm like, how could she have done this? And it's not even the first time, which makes it even that much more worse. This woman could have literally taken our lives and all the people before us as well. I'm like, it was just so much anger. It was so much anger. But then when I seen and reflected on how God took this accident and now has allowed us to establish roots in our home, I was just like, God, you literally turned it around for the good of us. You turned it around for the good of us. No, I'm not in pain anymore. No, I did not get too hurt or nothing like that. No, I'm not disabled or nothing like that. Thank God my husband is perfectly fine. The car is still fine. But God turned it around to not only just allow that us to walk away from the accident, but he allowed us to plant a much bigger seed from that accident. So again, surrendering. And it was hard going through the accident. I've never been in an accident and having to deal with attorneys and go to all these doctors. It was a lot to deal with. My car and the impound, I didn't know nothing about nothing. Like, I didn't know this process. It was just a lot. And yet and still, God still turned it around. So fearing that fear that you have for it not to work out, that fear that you may have for you not knowing which way to go, that fear that you have where you just think that he may have forgotten about your prayer request. I'm here to tell you, I just testified on every last one of those, and I still have more testimonies, but I just testified on every last one of those. God will come through for you. There is no reason to think that he does not see you, that he does not hear you, when he created you before he created this world. He already knew you way before anybody knew you. So he knows exactly what your desires are. That desire to get whatever it is, whether it's the husband, whether it's the house, whether it's the car, whether it's the children, he knows the desires because he probably placed those on your heart. So if he placed them on your heart, why would he not want to fulfill those desires for you? If you're going through something, he allows things to happen to us for specific purposes. But even if it was our mistake, he can still turn it around for us. There is absolutely nothing that God cannot do. And in through all of these testimonies, every time I reflect, I just always come back and realize how true his word is. God said he can do the impossible. God said that he will never lie. God said that his word will not return to him void. God said that he will do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask. God said all of these things, and I can tell you that all of these things have come to pass. So whatever fear you are holding on to, just let it go. It's so much easier to let it go. I'm telling y'all, like, it really is. The last testimony I'm gonna give y'all, and I'm gonna give y'all just a short recap of it, was our second property. Because of our first property, because of that accident, because of the settlement that we got from the accident, we were able to put in the first property. Because God allowed the accident to happen when it happened, he allowed us to get into this hot market before it became hot, which just grew our equity in this hot market, in our first home, which allowed us to get our second home, right? But the way in which we got our second home, it was already under contract. It was everything that I had prayed for, everything we prayed for. We did not want to have to do any type of fixing, none of that stuff. This house was completely, y'all know sometimes y'all look for houses and these people, they be doing these flips and they do some kind of not so nice flips, right? This house was done right. And it was everything we were asking for. A new roof, windows, flooring, all of anything you can think of. It was perfect. It was the perfect price and everything. And it was actually under contract before I even, I think, finished walking it. Brandon was not unable to walk it with me because he was at work at the time, which is crazy because both houses, he did not walk with me. But I did walk it. And three times, I have it recorded. I was recording, walking through the house with him, walking through the house with the realtor. And I said, because somebody pulled up, I don't know who it was, somebody pulled up and they asked if the house was already bought or whatever. And I guess she said no. I couldn't really hear the conversation. But she was like, oh, they were looking to buy. And I said at that point, I said, this is my house. And I said it three times. I said it in one room. I said it in the kitchen. And I said it outside. I said this is my house. And even though before I even got home, this house was under contract, it came to pass. God made it work to where we were the owners of this home. He aligned my desires. His desires obviously was on my heart, which was in alignment with him. I agreed with him. I surrendered it. When I got home and I seen that, did it like, it felt like a slap in the face. What do you mean after all this time of looking for a second home that this is under contract and it's the perfect one? Surrender to the point where we actually put in an offer on another home. We actually started looking for another home. Surrender to the point where I said, you know what, God, if you could bring me my husband, if you could bring us the first house, I know that you can bring us the second house. Okay. Surrender to the point where it was not an option because I had no other option. We had no other option but to surrender it, right? Because of an actual technicality, a lien or something that was on the house. I don't even know, some sort of legal whatever situation that was on the house, the first people who put the offer in could no longer, they had to back out of their offer because it would have taken too long for them to close and they couldn't wait that long to close. So because of literally something that took, and it did take a while to close, it took 7 months to close on this house, but because God set us up already to where we already had a home, because God has set us up into a position where we could have waited on this, where this did not defer anything, because God set us up in such a position for even the down payment amount. That's a whole nother testimony. I asked God, I remember praying to God for $50,000. He gave us $60,000 for this down payment. He knew that he needed to provide above and beyond what I had asked because he knew it was going to take 7 months for it to close. And he knew interest rates were going to rise. This is during the peak time when people were going, paying thousands and thousands of dollars more on houses, like literally fighting for houses. Houses were not on the market for more than 2 days. This is that type of market we're fighting in. But yet God, like I said, whatever you are fearful for, whatever you are waiting for God for, you have to surrender it to him. Like you can't, and I know it says faith without works is dead, but you have to understand when you have done your part of the work. We did our part of the work when I was looking for the car. I did my part of the work when I prayed for my husband and surrendered it to God. I did the part of the work that we needed to do in order to find the second home. And we did our part in putting in the offer and asking him what to put and all of that stuff. We did our part and we did our part of our work. But you have to understand again when it's time to surrender. God, I did exactly what you told me. I obeyed and now I need you to come through. But you have to surrender it to him. Let it go and let him work. So, yes.
That was so good, sis.
Yes, I have so many testimonies. But again, I just had to let y'all know that because it can sometimes feel like it's difficult, but it really doesn't have to be. Sometimes when I think about it, as far as like, how do I overcome this fear? How do I overcome this anxiety? It really comes down to, do I know best or does God? Because I know I don't know best. So am I going to sit up here? And he says already, again, all of his word already tells you everything you're thinking. Who can add another hour to their life by stressing, by worrying? You can't. So why do it? If anything, you're taking away an hour of your life because it's not healthy for you to be stressed out and anxious and fearful. It's not healthy for you to stay in that state. So it's so much better to just release and understand and know that he got you. And a way to actually look back on that is to reflect and see how much he's actually done in your life already. Look at his receipts, as we've heard it before. Check God's receipts.
As Rima says, check his track record.
Right. Check his track record.
I love it. Yes. I just love the way the Holy Spirit moves. You can't listen to your testimonies and not be moved. You can't listen to your testimonies and not see his hand all over your life and not be brought to this state of rest and gratitude. When you hear someone else's testimony, whether you've experienced it or not, it's like it clicks or connects with your spirit.
Right.
And then it forces you to remember. It causes you to remember, oh, I might be experiencing this, but it's just because I forgot that my God did X.
Right.
Yesterday, 2 months ago, a year ago, I tried to pick up
on and discern like some of the steps, because I always want to leave people who haven't built up their surrender muscle the way you have. I will always want to leave them with practical tips and strategies. Yeah. And what I gathered was that it came down to two things. Mm-hmm. One, it came down to you being in relationship with God.
Yes.
It came down to you obeying his word mm-hmm. and praying bold prayers. I never heard you say, oh, something happened. And then I was like timid about it. And I didn't want to take it to him. Or I never heard you say anything like that. You were like, Lord, this is how I feel. And I still expect you to move.
Right.
There's evidence. I've seen you move before. I know you can do it again. And then the last thing that I heard from you was just being willing to be obedient. Mm-hmm. And I know for some people that might not make sense. And so I'm going to try to break it down a little further. Holy Spirit, help me with this. There is one thing. It's one thing to sing the songs and say, I'm surrendered, right? Mm-hmm. But it's a completely different thing to actually walk it out in your life. And the word calls us to be doers, not just hearers, not just people who give the Lord lip service, but to be doers of the word. And so I saw that throughout your testimony, how you went back to the word and then you actually implemented it in your life, whether it meant being still, whether it meant waiting on the Lord. You just embodied that in those various different circumstances. And as you were talking, one song came to mind. And it's a song I've listened to in preparation for this summit for the past few weeks. It keeps coming up, but it's Make Room. I think it's community music. But I just pulled up the lyrics and it says, shake up the ground of all my tradition, break down the walls of all my religion. Your way is better. We have to get to the point where we remember that he knows everything. We have to get to the point where we remember that his word is a light unto our path. We have to get to the point where we remember that he's given us permission, right? When one of the, I can't remember which testimony you were sharing, because they were all so good. One of them you were sharing, I just kept thinking of like Jeremiah 33:3. Like she activated that and said, my father knows. I don't even have to stress about this. I ain't got to worry about this. All I need to do is take it to him and ask him for the wisdom and he'll make a way. And too often we forget that. So I thank you for the reminder, sis. I thank you for sharing your testimonies. I was like, oh God, that's good. I was like, oh, that's going to set somebody free. That's going to help somebody. Because I think a big part of this summit is not so much preaching at people or teaching people as much as it is sharing the power of our testimony, mm-hmm. sharing how Jesus's life impacted us and how we have grown in relationship with our Heavenly Father. And through that growth, through that relationship, come into partnership with him and how we're creating the life that he sent his son to die on a cross for us for. And so I thank you. I thank you for sharing.
I thank you for just giving me the opportunity to share. It really is just so much easier, everybody, to just let go and let God, because just like you said, he knows everything. Sometimes we run to Google, sometimes we run to our parents or our sister or whoever before we run to God. And it's like, why are you running to them before you run to the one who knows all? He literally knows all. He knows exactly what you need, even more than you do. You know, like I said, I prayed for one amount for a down payment and I got another, more than enough. I prayed for one vehicle and I got a whole different, better than, newer, upgraded. We prayed for this house, the first house, the second house, and we got more than what we asked for, or exactly what we asked for. And it's just, God already knows exactly what you will need. And it will come to pass at the exact time that it needs to come to pass. So again, just surrendering. It's so much easier to live in his peace. It's so much better and so much more freeing to live in his peace that just surpasses all understanding than to live in the worry and the anxiety of whatever. You don't know. The only thing that you can hold true to know that it will come to pass is his word. And that's all that matters. Nowhere does he say that he's ever going to hurt you or anything. He wants to do more than you're asking for. He wants to give you better. So surrender into that. Even if you can't surrender into the testimonies that has happened for me, that it can happen for you, 100% surrender into what he's already done for you in your life and what he has said that he wants to do in your life. So yeah, I just want one more thing, because I don't even know how long we've been on here, but the last thing that was actually brought to my mind full circle the other day was in regards to my business, Wealthy Employees. So Wealthy Employees is where I am literally helping employees in particular just maximize their wealth and build that generational wealth that they're looking for in their 9-to-5s. Because, you know, a lot of people think that they can't build wealth because they're in a job. And I'm here to tell you that's 100% not true, because my husband and I have not made over 6 figures, and yet we have over 6-figure accounts. So there's no way that you can say that there's no way to build wealth in a 9-to-5. And this is pre-entrepreneurship. It's possible. And so I help people do that. But the desire, again, that God gives us of our hearts. I remember as a young girl, I wanted to not, our family wasn't poor or anything like that, but I just knew that sometimes some family members would ask me for money. And I would just be like, Father, why can't they have enough to where they don't have to ask us? Thankfully, they could ask me or whatever. But I was like, I just want to be able to know and help them with their finances so that they never have to ask anybody else for money. Or it's more of a lender situation where you're literally only doing it because you're taking leverage on using other people's money, either the banks or anything like that. And so I do these family finance days every month where I'm teaching my family financial literacy. And it's just so full circle. Like every single thing that I went through in life just allowed me to come back to this moment where I am doing exactly what I wanted to do as a child. Like even down to my business. It's just so amazing to when you let go and you really let God work in your life, how much he can do more. And just the way in which he does it. I would have, throughout all of my life, I would have never thought that this would have been the way that I would have gotten to this point in my life. And it just worked out so beautifully because I allowed him to do the work. So please surrender, y'all. Please surrender to his will.
So good. You have shared so much wisdom. We thank you for that. You've shared your God-giving gifts with us and experiences. I know that people are going to want to stay in touch. So tell us how we can stay in touch with you, sis.
You can definitely follow me on Instagram at Wealthy Employees. We are also on YouTube. We are on LinkedIn as well. Personally, my personal LinkedIn is Jessica Hudson, MBA. And yeah, and then the website is wealthyemployees.com. You can also look at our blogs and everything that is on there. You can sign up for our email list. Yes, there are definitely different ways. Pretty much on any platform you can follow me. I'm not on TikTok yet though, but definitely again, our YouTube and LinkedIn is going to be the biggest one, of course, because that's where all the employees are. That's where we're going to be the most active on.
Okay. That is awesome. Mm-hmm. All right. Two more questions for you.
Yeah.
Do you have a gift that you'd like to share with the audience that you want to talk about?
Yes, I do. I actually do. So I wanted to share with everybody a webinar that is how to begin to build this 9-to-5 wealth. Because like I said before, people sometimes think that they cannot do these things, but I did put together a webinar that shows you step-by-step how you can actually begin to start building this wealth. And it really comes down to a couple of things as far as for investing, saving, and protecting your assets, which insurances and things like that. So in this webinar, there's a complete list of everything that you can start to do. And then there's also another extra little gift that is inside the webinar. It is a gift that will be on the marketplace, which is the Newfound Money Kit. And this kit is an extension of that webinar. So in the kit, you are provided with 9 different financial tools that are going to help you, again, step by step, go a little bit deeper into generating income. So increasing your cash flow, paying down debt if you have any debt that you want to go ahead and pay down, how to actually manage that debt, credit card debt, building your credit. There's a lot of different financial tools that are in there, but the best one is a 15-minute call with me where we actually talk about specifically a personalized next step plan for you and what your financial goals are. Definitely go check it out. And like I said, it's going to be on the marketplace, which I believe is going to be open until November 1st, if I'm not mistaken, Simona.
That is absolutely right. Yeah. Thank you so much, Jessica. I appreciate you. I hope everyone takes advantage of the call, as well as the free gift that you have given them. Yeah. Both will be available through the website, as well as the private podcast. All right, everyone. Thanks so much for joining us today, and stay tuned for the next session.
Thank you.